You're not sick, Amelia, no.
No?
No, you're a little farsighted.
This is the Farsighted Network.
This is the Farsighted Network.
This is the Farsighted Network.
Thanks for listening.
Enjoy the show.
Welcome back to Cage Match. Sorry we missed April. Somebody's wife had to go and have a fake injury, so it was really hard to schedule. We are back, and we are going to review Deadfall. It's going to be terrible as this movie is.
Our episode is definitely going to be better than the movie, though. I mean, right?
Anything would be better than the movie. Walking over hot coals would be better than this
movie. Wait, we shouldn't show our hand too early, guys. It might be a good movie to one of us.
Oh, sorry.
No.
Oh, wait. No. It's a great movie. Okay. So I'm Murder. This is Loki. This is Justin. Say hi, everybody.
Hi.
Which one? Am I Justin? Hey, what's up? I'm Justin. Loki, you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Loki.
And hi, I'm Jojo Siwa.
That's not what I sound like.
You don't sound like me either. So whatever.
What's up? My name's Justin. This is what you'd sound like, right?
Yeah.
I'm Jojo Siwa. Welcome to my dream podcast,
featuring all of my exes.
Believe it or not, who are listening, there are only three of us in the room, even though we've had so many voices show up in the last minute.
There's seven people here.
You know, I always did want to be a voice actor. I really missed the boat there.
Yeah,
you should go do it.
I mean, yeah. I guess it's not too late, because no matter how beat I look, it will just be my voice.
Well, I mean, honestly, if you were to get in that boat, I would recommend bringing a life raft, just so you know. I'm just saying.
Fine. I mean, I have a backup job or whatever.
Okay.
Speaking of backup jobs, we would like to announce our first bout is this weekend for Rockstar Roller Derby. Woo-hoo! You guys excited?
Hell yeah.
Oh, snap.
You guys can tune in this Friday, May 10th, if this drops in time.
Oh, it will. It will. I'm on a tight schedule. It will drop on time.
Perfect. This will drop on time. You are hearing this in real time. So May 10th on Friday, you can watch Justin host our Twitch stream. Or you can try and buy tickets if we haven't sold out. So that's super exciting. Justin, would you like to talk about Skate or Die?
Yeah, and I'll talk a little bit more at the end too, and we'll make sure to have all the links and stuff. But Skate or Die submissions have been open for a little bit, but the official press release is going out in the next few days, probably out before this podcast, actually, because both of them are due out on Wednesday. But yeah, where we already have like 60 plus submissions between all the different categories, some really cool stuff. And I'm excited. We added a few other things this year, like a LGBTQ plus block, which I'm really stoked about. A writing competition, which I'm also stoked about. And those are kind of newer items, but kind of a different structure. But if you were interested in that press release, there'll be a link in this podcast, and you can check that out over at skaterdiefestival.com.
Perfect. Thank you, Justin.
Yeah.
I'm super excited for Skate or Die, mostly for the food trucks, because those are always the best time.
Okay.
Little film, little dude, can't go wrong.
I know. I just want to eat snacks all day and watch movies, and this is like the perfect thing to do that with.
We got the place in the event for you.
That's true.
Listen, do you like watching TV by yourself and eating snacks? Do that with other people. It's going to be great.
Yo, and we let you bring your own chairs. You can be super comfortable. I mean, it's like being at home, except with people.
Yeah, it's so perfect. Anything else we need to promote before we jump into the synopsis of this freaking awesome movie?
I wish I had more to talk about because I'd like to delay talking about this movie, but I don't have anything else to talk about at the moment.
Is it because it's so exciting that you can hardly contain yourself?
Justin's like peeing his pants over this entire thing. I can tell. He's so excited. Yeah, so I chose this movie because we had way too many good movies in a row, and there are a ton of bad Nick Cage movies, so I just wanted to highlight how terrible he actually is, and the atrocities that the Coppola brothers have committed in their lifetime. So we have the little synopsis here.
Oh my god, let me read it.
Yeah, go for it. Jump in.
I want to be the official synopsis reader.
But you had to do it like Joe Siwa.
No. Oh no, it happened. Okay, ready? When Joe loses his dad in a sting, he contacts his dad's twin Lou, who has a major sting planned. Lou's helper feels threatened by Joe. Who's conning who?
That's it. That's the whole movie.
That's the whole movie.
That synopsis sounds significantly more interesting than the movie I just, you know, rewatched for this podcast.
Yeah, we can definitely get into that.
Yeah, it is really misleading. When I picked this, I really didn't think that it could be this terrible. I was sort of coming around to Nick Cage a little bit. And then this movie literally is all of the things I hate about him in one movie. It's beautiful. I love it. Well, it's perfect.
There is a place we'll differ then, because I actually don't hate Nick in this movie. I hate the movie.
That's what you and everybody on Rotten Tomatoes said.
But that doesn't mean I think he's good in the movie.
I love Nick Cage.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that he's good in the movie. I'd say he's entertaining. Like, the only times I'm ever entertained are when he's on screen. If he's not on screen, it's not entertaining at all.
Yeah, it's like watching your friend that took too many drugs in one night and following them around.
Right, which is entertaining. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
But like, here's the thing. Like, so I dove into Christopher Coppola because I don't know anything about him. Obviously, he's Nick Cage's younger brother by 2 years. He is the director and writer of this film. Although, weirdly enough, it's co-written by Nick Vallelonga, who has written a lot of really good movies, so I can't quite figure out what his role in writing this was, because it is one of the worst written films I've ever seen. And it reminded me very much of an old adage that a good actor can't save a bad script, and that's exactly what this movie is, because there's a lot of really good actors in this movie doing really horrible jobs.
Yeah, it definitely gave the vibes of the Coppolas going up to these actors and be like, remember that time my dad did you a favor? Be in this movie. That's what I felt like.
This is like the lesser known Coppola.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So this is actually
younger Coppolas, right?
Yeah, so this is actually Christopher Coppola's most well-known movie, to put it in perspective.
Okay, that's very upsetting.
It is. And like, so a lot of the stuff he does is like weirdo B movie kind of stuff, which to me sounds like my cup of tea, but no. Mm-hmm. I made a point to check a few of them out, and they're not my cup of tea. They're not my anything. He's not good. He's definitely the worst Coppola. So Chris, if you're listening to this,
just a big just old retire. Cup of shit.
Yeah, man, it's bad.
I'm so sure that he has to know that, though, right? He has to know he is the worst Coppola out there.
I think he probably does.
Did you find amazing Rotten Tomatoes reviews? Because I wait to look because I just want to know what you come. I want to know what you're bringing to the table.
Okay, so first of all, a movie that is older than 2000s on Rotten Tomatoes, the reviews are wild. they're just insane. But a lot of them said, were like the same review almost exactly. It was one sentence. I love Nick Cage. This movie's horrible. 1 star. So we got a lot of those, but I found 3 standouts that I really liked. Okay. The first one is, there's nothing like seeing that the one true God, Nicolas Cage, tripping balls and dry humping a mattress, which there is nothing like it, but that was also a 1-star review. This is another one-star review. One of the greatest movies to exist solely because it's so terrible. And the last one is another one-star review that said, I saw 10 minutes of this movie on cable while drunk at 4 a.m., yet it was enough to know that it was horrific. Nick Cage plays a bad dinner theater parody of Nick Cage, which is probably like the best summation of Nick Cage's acting style through this whole thing. Like, he is like high as balls, clearly in real life high as balls this entire time, and just like playing a parody of himself. That's what it definitely feels like. Yeah.
So before we get into the specifics of this movie, which I'm so excited to do, as you can tell by my excited voice, one of the things that I found ridiculously bizarre and I just can't wrap my mind around is that this movie has a sequel.
No way.
And the sequel is called Arsenal. It came out in 2017. And it is Nick Cage's character is the lead. So it's something we are going to have to watch at some point. And he is he reprises his role. He stars opposite John Cusack.
What?
Yeah.
How the fuck did they get these people?
Because their dad and uncles are the Coppolas.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just could not believe that a sequel to this exists. I also like that it's 24 years later that the sequel came out. I guess it's Nick's passion project. I don't know. I mean, he really wanted to reprise that role.
I really feel like I could have gone my whole life without ever having known that there was a sequel to this movie.
Oh, you will not, because we will revisit it at some point by watching the sequel. Yeah,
I feel like now I need to know, like, as much as I don't want to, and every fiber of my being is like, don't go down this road. I'm like, I could watch it this weekend.
Well, next time we get together to watch wrestling, we're going to have a wrestling followed by Arsenal party.
I love how there's this article that's just simply entitled, Holy Crap, There's a Deadpool Sequel.
That's how I found it. That's how I found this movie. That is how I found this movie. Yes, the sequel. Yeah. By that exact article you were talking about.
One of the reviews is just, yes. Which I find lovely. Yes.
Oh my God.
I mean,
there's
guess
like a little trailer playing in the background because I looked it up, and it's John Cusack looks fucking ridiculous already. Okay, moving on. Let's focus on the original, you know, the OG, where it all started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's focus on the one that truly matters, which is this one. Yeah. And I just wanted to give my overall opinion of this and hear what you guys have to say.
Sure.
I loved it. I loved it so much in that it just felt very validating because for so long we've been doing such good movies. Such good movies. And I'm like, fuck, I actually like this movie. Why did I hate him so much? And then this came up and I loved it. I think it's a really great example of nepotism in Hollywood and how it's gonna kill all good things. I love that the father from My Big Fat Greek Wedding was in it. That was a surprise. I don't know if you guys clocked that. I loved how death was super casual to this entire family. Like, they like put Eddie's body in that fucking oil thing and they're like, yeah, so anyway, I got this job, you want to do it or like what? Like, it was very casual for them to just have people die around them, and I love that too. The music of this movie was a big one for me too, because none of it matched any of the energy of any of the scenes, and I thought that was beautiful. Also, the one thing that stuck out to me about Charlie Sheen that I wanted to mention is the best way I could describe that outfit he's wearing in his first scene is that it looks like if a gay salmon was brought to human life. Like, he is just so shiny and sparkly and pink and beautiful and just looked like he rolled up to the set and he said, yeah, I'll do this, whatever, let's go. like he doesn't seem like he prepared at all for the role. It felt like he just walked in and just read a script, and I love that about it too. And then my absolute favorite part was the voiceovers of Nick Cage ranting. So like, I guess he was like too loud. So he had to like re-voice over all of the screams where he, all of the scenes where he's screaming. And I just, the quality of that was beautiful to me.
So, I didn't know
what
that.
What did you think, Loki? Well,
that's awesome to learn that he had to ADR all his own scene, all his scenes because he was too loud.
Every single one that he yelled, every single one he yelled, he had to VO it.
Oh, so like he was like peaking it and making all the sound all fucked up, so they had to redo it. That's awesome.
Yeah, so not only did he act that way once, he acted that way twice. I just think that's delightful. What did you think, Luke?
Well, my goodness. What are some words that I could use to describe this?
Painful?
Atrocious.
Hold on, let me pull up a thesaurus for you.
Just absolutely dreadful. It has no redeeming qualities whatsoever. No,
what
I mean,
about the here's the guy. You didn't like him?
What?
The scissor hand dude?
No, oh my God. Okay. So I was, as I mentioned to the two of you, explaining this movie because I had to get it out of the inside of me to the outside world after I watched it to Justin's wife, Brookie. And I was impassioned because I really needed it gone. But it is like the entire film almost from beginning to end is like burned into the back of my mind. Like I could retell it with a shocking detail, like step by step. And I'm like, every time she would be like, but that's like it though. And I was like, no, there's more. But wait,
hang on,
there's a
hang
dude.
On.
Hold on.
She's
hold
like,
on,
are we almost home
on.
Yet?
There's a dude. There's a dude dressed like Dr. Evil, which and then I'm like, maybe that's where they got the Dr. Evil look from, with like a scissor for a hand, but like it's made out of diamonds and gold. And there's legitimately no reason for him to have this weird scissor hand.
Isn't his name Dr. Lime, too?
I don't know.
I think it's Dr. Lime.
I think it's Dr. Pepper.
I don't
Pepper.
Know any names. Is it? It's Dr. Pepper. Oh my God! Yeah, no, yeah. It was like just a scene like of him. But it's multiple times while watching this movie because Billy graciously volunteered to watch it with me. We looked at each other and we're like, "What is happening? Like, how did we get here? This is like four different movies that don't fully have like a plot or a story just smashed into one movie."
That's a very good way to describe that.
But what was interesting is like what Justin said when I read the synopsis, it's like it's incredibly misleading because you can see where there could have been a good story in here somewhere. Like there's a concept that could go in a direction that makes some sort of sense. And then it's like everyone just sat around a table and was like, nah, let's just do this instead. And
we
everyone else was like,
pot, but let's okay. not do it.
Because I'm like, considering the actors, obviously, and it's like, why would you make this movie? But I'm like, maybe on paper, you're like, oh yeah, this like, you know, this screenplay seems pretty decent. You're not bad. And then they're like, but also this guy's gonna have a scissor for a hand. And you're like, what? Why?
Oh my God.
Why?
That is so true. I feel like they just started doing lines with Nick Cage like halfway through. They're like, but what if scissors?
Doing lines with Nick Cage halfway
hear
through.
Hear me out. Hear me out. Hear me out. Scissor hands.
we can get into Nick Cage when we get there, so I won't dive too deep into that. But yeah, it's something. I don't even know if I can say it's a movie.
It is.
No, I think it's definitely a movie. It's definitely a movie. I mean, that's about as far as I can go.
Justin, tell me your thoughts and feelings on that.
Yeah, it's like a train wreck. Like you can't really look away from it, and then it's like stuck with you.
So
everyone should definitely watch it though, so we can all suffer together.
Yeah.
Do you like emotional scarring? You would love this film.
So I mentioned that Chris Coppola co-wrote this movie with a guy who wrote some good movies. I'm double checking, and he only really wrote one good movie, Nick, so maybe that makes
Vallelonga.
He wrote Green Book, which is a pretty fantastic script, actually. I think he might have even won something for that script, but most of the other stuff he was involved with, he was just an actor in. So perhaps he's not that great a writer. But this movie would definitely say that in 1993, he definitely wasn't a good writer, or he had very little say and Coppola did most of it, because this is one of the most poorly written scripts I've ever experienced. So the movie starts off, right, with this very cheesy, noirish feel, and then we find out that it was like a grift, this whole thing, where someone gets killed and whatever. I assumed at that moment, oh, this cheesy noir feel was them making a film. And then I went, oh, no, it's a grift. Oh, this is actually the tone of the whole movie. This is not actually, yeah.
Here, though, it's just like a vibe for that little situation.
Yeah.
It took me a couple minutes to realize that, like, the cops were also in on it.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, wait, is he a cop? And then Billy's like, no. And I was like, I don't know what's happening right now.
Well, and like,
all cops? Anyone else? Just on the filming itself, and it was like one little thing. To me, it felt like that look where now it's popular, or was popular like earlier in the 2000s, to make it look like you filmed something with a cell phone, except for there weren't cell phones. And I'm like, how and why did they do that?
There wasn't like a single dolly in the making of this film. It was very shaky. Like, the sex scene especially felt like somebody was just like shakily going up this lady's body with a camera. And they're just like very nervous about it.
Blair Witch Project or like fucking Cloverfield, but like for no reason whatsoever.
Yeah.
Anyway, Justin.
No, I mean, honestly, I think that the movie was so poorly written, I didn't even think about the cinematography, because I was just like, this is so bad. But you're
oh my God, you should go back and watch it again.
No, yeah, well, I might. I'll think about it. I like how when the opening scene happens and the father is killed, it's all right, so we talked to this about
this, like, I like
hold on.
How do I actually, because I don't expect that most people are listening have watched this movie, and I definitely don't recommend they do. So
okay, if you're this far into the podcast,
how do you explain like this
and go back and watch this movie?
Do not watch it.
Con off the top.
Yeah. So like there's this con in the beginning.
Oh, I know how the con works.
Yeah. Well, but then we find out that the con was not that by the end. Because it's all a lie. This whole movie's a lie. I give up.
The whole movie is the con.
Yeah.
To get you to watch it.
Right. but when the father who gets killed in the beginning because of a con gone wrong, when he gets buried, at the end, they tell the one son, all these other, you know, grifters, these other con men, they say, You know, you got to get away. You got to get, you know, we're all going away. We're getting out of here. And he's like, okay, yeah. The guy rolls his window down and goes, see ya. I'm just like, wow. Because that was necessary. At the end of all this scene, he rolls his window down before he drives away. He just says, see ya. And like, that was, the moment where I realized very early on, oh, dialogue in this movie not gonna be good.
There were so many awkward pauses. There were so many, like, it looked like the characters were like thinking what to say, like as they were filming. She was just like, what are you doing? Why are you being like that? Like when Nick Cage comes in the hotel, like it just feels like she ad-libbed it.
Yeah, and so like here's the thing. I said there were a lot of great actors.
It's okay.
There were a lot of great actors in this movie. The lead is Michael Biehn. Mm-hmm. Michael Biehn is fantastic as an actor. Yeah. He's not good in this movie. And not only that, but whenever he does the narration, I want to stab myself. Like, I don't know why, but his...
Oh, the narration.
Oh, my God. It's so bad. It's so bad. Like, I don't have a single note on this movie that's super positive. And the only real positive things I could say, which we'll get to when we get to Cage, are he's at least entertaining. That's where I'm at. So that's my initial opinion, is this movie sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh my God, it was really hard for me to get past. So you have the beginning con, which ultimately ends up being like part of a much larger con. But you get past that, right? And this dude, they lead him to believe that he killed his own father because he was in charge of the ammo and it was supposed to be blanks and like he actually shot his dad. And they let him believe that, which is so fucked for the sake of a bigger con. But then when he is sitting on the floor next to the bed, like drinking whiskey or vodka straight out of a bottle and like crying, but he's not like, it's not even remotely believable crying. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't know if I could get through this. Like, he's like, I never would have made this mistake. I checked the guns. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, I think like to your point, the believability of some of these things in the movie, like him crying, him like turning on the carousel to shoot his dad, like for some reason, which just baffled me. Like there was just like certain things that like would not naturally happen ever in real life ever. Like,
yeah, it just, I mean, like a dude crying weird. Because he accidentally like killed his own dad. Like that's believable, yeah, but for not sure, that way.
Not the
that's
crying weird. Itself, yeah. Yeah, a lot of it kind of felt like this, like, uncanny valley. Like, it feeling like the strip club felt like it wasn't a strip club. It was, like, a fire hall with a stage in it. Like, it felt like, even design felt really, like, otherworldly. I was like, where are we actually? Like, the motel seemed like an office building that he was just in. Like, it all just felt very, very surreal, I think is the best word for it. Like the fucking fryer scene. Like, why are they there? Yeah. Like, why are they just sitting in front of the fryer? Like, where did that even come into play? Why did they just go outside and turn on a fryer? Like, it just, shit like that just was bananas to me.
It really just feels like Uncle Francis was like, all right, Nikki, Chris, here's some money. Go make your movie.
Yeah, definitely like that. It felt like a very, like just the screenplay of it all was very, God, I don't know how to describe it. It was all predictable. Like every single thing that happened, I called. Like as soon as she said, don't, or like, let's run away now, I was like, oh, here's the rest of the plot of this movie, right? But like the only thing that did surprise me was his wig coming off. Like when Nicolas Cage's wig came off.
That was a wig?
Yes! I died! I was like, I mean, of course you know. But I did it and it surprised me. I was like, oh, that's bad hair. I didn't think anything of it. And then his wig came off and I screamed at the TV. I was so surprised. That was the most surprising thing of this entire movie. Everything else felt very predictable.
All right, so let's talk about the man under the wig. Let's talk about
Yes, our boy Nick,
murder
Nicholas Marie Cage
as the chooser of our film. Tell us what did you love about Nick and what did you hate?
What I loved about Nick is that he died 58 minutes into the movie, so therefore I only had to deal with him for those 58 minutes.
Isn't the movie only like
an
hour and 10 minutes
90
long?
Minutes. Yeah. So I was very thankful that I did get a break. I did genuinely love his glasses. I thought it was an excellent choice. I did also love that
casting.
Excellent glasses casting. And I think it was very important for him to have those glasses because I also love that he was genuinely high out of his mind this entire movie.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
And I just thought the commitment to the character was beautiful. Him doing poppers was also really funny in the fucking car while he was driving.
You guys got poppers?
Yeah.
Fun time, family, fun time.
Fun time, family, fun time. I didn't like a lot of it. like 91 minutes of it I didn't like. You know what? Let me go back to what I did really like about him. When he screams fuck in the middle of the strip club for like a drawn out 20 seconds, I love that. I thought that was such a good choice. I just felt that in my soul, and it was really nice.
You're like, I've been there before. I can relate.
Yeah.
I think we've all been there.
Yeah. I've always wanted to just scream fuck in the middle of a strip club.
It's actually like, it's actually listed in the quotes. and it's just fuck with like so many U's. And like, that's it. Fuck!
And then he just like punches somebody and screams, hi fucking yeah. Hi fucking yeah!
Yeah.
So I think my dislikes are pretty big, and they're pretty probably reminiscent of everybody here as well. Is like, my biggest beef was the actual screenplay of this all. Like, just like how death was so casual for them. Like, they just like really missed the mark in being able to actually build real characters. You know what I mean? Like, have them like mourn a little bit, have them like go through that, and like you can see their motivation more. They're like, dad's dead anyway, and then just like walks away from it, like, and like Eddie died and he walks away from it, like it just all felt very casual, and I just thought that they could have done so much more with the actual like character development in this. I fucking hated it. Like, that's all it comes down to.
Yep.
That sex scene was a lot for me.
Yeah.
Oh my god, yeah, I have never been more uncomfortable.
It was so long.
It was so long.
The music was like horror movie music behind it, and you could hear all the sounds, all the like mouth sounds, and like touching, and like their skin rubbing together. Like, you could hear all of the sounds. But yeah, so that's my end of it. But what do you think, Loki, specifically about Nick Cage? What did you like?
Oh, fucking Christ. Jesus. Right, sorry, I'm calling on all different kinds of gods to get me through this.
I'll be praying to Buddha Justin next. Is
going to disagree with me on this one, but I didn't even find him entertaining in this. But also, I think that's a very specific type of humor, and I can definitely see why people would find him entertaining, because it's so over the top. But his character in particular made me so uncomfortable. Like, just the epitome of cringe, and like, not in a way that I can like justify. I'd be like, yeah, it's cringy for the sake of being campy, but it's... And like, I know that's just a character, not who he is as a person.
I mean, it's kind of who he is. No, it isn't. I mean, it's kind of.
It's a little bit of both. Yeah, Eddie. Wow, what a special guy. That guy. I do appreciate. In addition to the extended fuck, not the sex scene, but him yelling fuck, is when he also 10 out of 10 can relate, is when he comes back to like Diane's place, and he's like super upset, and he's like, they're trying to kill me, and she's like, who would try to kill you? And he's like trying to get something out of the closet and gets all caught up in the hangers, and he's like, the fucking hangers. And I'm like, I've been there. Yeah, I've definitely gotten unnecessarily angry at an inanimate object before in the
future, so. I almost threw my computer out of the window when trying to get this recording going, so you know, I vibe.
You're like, this computer's trying to fucking kill me.
That's beautiful. What were your dislikes of him?
Oh, did I say something that I liked?
I think she
kind of did.
I think everything she said was a dislike, right? I mean,
yeah,
not a single like.
Oh, I hated it. Take me back to Connor.
The good times, the good old days.
I want wind blowing through his long locks again and a bad southern accent. Take me back.
We'll definitely get to we'll definitely get to the discussion of the accent choice, but
choice or choices?
What did you like?
Choice or choices?
Choices.
All right. Oral, yeah.
What did you actually like about Nick Cage in this movie?
All right. So when I say he's entertaining, that doesn't mean I think he's good. Let me be specific. Okay. Because I do not
I'm really
think,
glad that you
I don't,
clarified.
I don't,
thank you for clarifying.
I don't think he's good in this movie. I think he's entertaining because the movie is such shit that at least when he's on the screen, I'm intrigued. I really like the moments where, you know, he probably is legitimately high when they were making this movie, because there are so many scenes where he's in the background making weird faces and things that don't feel like they were on purpose. And that,
oh yeah, like he had the drips or something.
Oh my god, like yeah. like there are times where whoever was filming caught it and then zoomed in a little, and I don't think it was intentional. I think he was just like, oh my god, this is gold, I gotta zoom in, because he's just doing weird shit in the background of every scene he's in that he's not like the focus of. And that was actually kind of my favorite part. And like, you said, you know, and I get this too, it is a very specific kind of humor, it is a very cringe humor. And if it's not something that you vibe, I can totally see it like being awful. But even if you do vibe it, I struggle with people trying to do camp, because what makes camp good is when it's not on purpose. So like,
yeah,
some of it, like that's why when he's in the background and I think he's actually high and he's making weird faces and I don't think he realizes the camera's on him, I think that's great. But when he's like in the front of stuff, I'm like, okay, he's entertaining at times, but he's not good. And so, like, this is definitely one of my least favorite movies we've covered. Probably second worst to Trapped in Paradise, because I don't even know. But
yeah, I think Trapped in Paradise was a fucking Emmy Award winner compared to this bullshit.
But I hate them both a lot. And in that movie, at least, like, Nick wasn't the worst part. In this movie, he kind of is and isn't. Like, he's entertaining, but he's also a shit show. So it's like, I don't know. Like, ultimately, like, I want to jump right into the accents, the voices, because there's not one.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So, like, when he first starts talking, he sounds like he's trying to be a tough guy. But then, like, a scene later, that voice is gone. And I'm like, oh, what's this new voice? And then I'm like, oh, maybe he's playing a guy who just likes to do voices, because his voice is different in every fucking scene.
No, he's having, like, an active mental breakdown. He's just like, fuck, I don't know, Johnny wants to go, like,
God, and
fucking bananas.
Like, he does
when they're in the car,
fake French accent,
and he's like, mommy.
Oh my god, I almost vomited the times that he said that to Diane, and then when he was in the strip club and he's like trying to like suck that girl's tits and he's like, mommy, and he's like sucking on his beer bottle. I was like, gonna fucking throw up. I was like, I'm done. I can't.
Also, why does he hold his beer bottle like that and drink out of it in that way?
I don't know. I don't know, and I hate it.
And then I'm like, is that camp? Like, are we trying to be intentionally weird? Or was that just happening because he was, like, so fucking crazy while filming this movie? I'm sorry. I think that's all accent related. I don't even know. Like, I feel like an accent makes me want to believe that it's linked to something else, you know, like a region.
Yeah, that's why it's not even like an accent. It's like, that he was doing. It's just voices. It's like, I feel like the reason he's doing 20 different voices is they're all the different voices going on in his head while they were making this movie. And so he just brings.
Yeah, that's what it felt like.
And it's like he's doing a weird fake French accent at one point when he's trying to do a con. And then he's doing, I'm like, that doesn't sound French, but it sounds like you're trying to be French. I don't know.
Like the Viva La fucking France.
Yeah. I don't even know.
Yeah, and like, what's her face? Diane?
He sounds so defeated.
He's very upset.
I don't even know.
I don't even know, man. You sound like you're a disappointed parent.
I feel like a disappointed parent.
And I get like it. You're like, my boy strayed too far, and now he's embarrassing us.
But, like, I also really want to see like, the people.
I mean, I think we kind of should.
Yeah, we will.
We have this to. Point.
We'll put it on the TV at the bell after party.
Oh, Lord. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. At least
everybody's night.
And that's not fair because like, I have to stay sober because I'm a driver. Fuck.
Oh, no. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, it's okay. We're not watching it there. Not happening. But anyway,
we can't get the attention it really deserves.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
right.
True.
What else is there to say about Nick, about this movie, about life, about
I don't know.
our own existence.
This movie has fucking James Coburn in it. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I know. I was like looking at the cast and I was like, this is insane. The Coppolas have something on everybody, I think. Like, I just think that they're like little hoarders of rumors and misinformation, and they go up and they, like, whisper
so much dirt.
They like went up and they whispered in Charlie Sheen's ear, and they just said like this, the one word that would link him to something that he doesn't want out. Okay. They're just like potato, and he's like, fuck, I have to do this movie.
It's the opposite of a safe word. It's an unsafe word.
Potato. Fuck. So, I don't want to do it, but I have to.
So before we move into, you know, the rating, because I can't wait to rate this movie. I'm just gonna, for those who aren't familiar with the movie, I'm just gonna read a few of the names of the people we were just talking about, right? So Michael Biehn is the star. Nicolas Cage is obviously in it. James Coburn, award-winning James Coburn, award-winning Peter fucking Fonda.
Yeah, I was gonna say
Talia fucking Shire. Okay, Talia Shire. Charlie Sheen, whatever. Mickey Dolenz, who's more known as one of the monkeys, but still. And Dr. Lime, as we talked about earlier, he's played by Angus Scrimm, horror movie legend. But he's not really my point, because he's not like one of these big. But Michael Constantine, another well-regarded actor. I mean, it's just.
Yeah, the dad from My Big Fat Greek Wedding. Yeah, he was in there.
It's just insane.
No one saw that movie.
It's a good movie, and everybody should watch it after this to calm you down.
You mean the guy from Thinner? It's the guy from Thinner. Anyway.
Oh, see, now I know.
Oh, I'm sorry. My B.
I don't know. All I know is it's insane how many big name folks. And you know what? You might think that they have to have something on, you know, these folks, but the thing they have on them is just, it's Francis Ford Coppola. He could tell everybody to do whatever the fuck they want, and if they want to keep working, they say yes. And unfortunately, this is what happens when the nephews of Francis Ford Coppola want to make a passion project that's essentially a really shitty noir film. Yeah.
That's what makes me really sad about nepotism. I'm like, sure, you got somebody in your family with some like legitimate talent, get them through the door a little faster, no problem. But like, you should be able to look at your nephew and be like, as like a good director, be like, this is fucking trash, bro. Like,
be like, listen, I love you, I support you, I'm here for you. This is garbage, and if you ever do this again, I'm disowning.
Well, if you look at the
would be the nice thing to say.
If you look at the budgets of most of his other films, Chris Coppola, I think they did do that for the most part, and this was one of the few times that Uncle Frankie said sure.
Guys, I just figured it out. There's a third con. The con was them conning their fucking investors into this movie, and at the end of the movie, the first time they saw it, they're like, we got it, boys. We did it. We pulled it off.
What's sad is that, like,
it's a con within a con.
I think that the ultimate fucking con is that they've gotten us to watch this movie 30 years after it came out and talk about it on a fucking podcast. Yeah.
I think the con was the friends that we made along the way. That's what I think.
All right, so is anybody giving this movie more than a one?
No. Less than a one.
I think one is our lowest score we can get. So.
Yeah, one? So I think that
we're making an exception. With one. Fine.
Right. So
yeah, so I think we got a one from all three of us.
I mean, like,
right?
I could have been bent towards a two coming into this, except the more we talk about it, the more angry and upset and just beaten down I feel. So one sounds great.
Okay, so
let me just circle back to what the fuck are we even watching, and not in an artsy way, just like, what is this?
What is this garbage that you have put in front of me?
Because I definitely said, what did I just watch after The Lighthouse? But I can appreciate it more for a lot of different reasons.
I mean, at least they killed a fucking, you know, seagull. I'm not just kidding. That's gross. That seems horrible.
Never harm a seabird.
Okay, JoJo Siwa, calm down. So we have, just to review where we're at right now. So oh, for okay. the good... in the Nick Cage verse, where our ranking is. Under the good, we have Con Air, Renfield, one, Kick Ass, and Willy's Wonderland. Yes. I agree with all of these. These have my stamp of approval. The bad is Mandy, Trapped in Paradise, Ghost Rider, the lost episode, and Ghost Rider 2. And now I think we can safely add Deadfall at the end
of this. That might even get its own category of the fucking worst.
Actually, let's do that. We're starting a new category. It's going to be called the fucking worst.
Okay, well, we might have to move Trapped in Paradise into that one too.
You got to move Trapped in Paradise down there too. No, I didn't see it,
I think it got a two.
It might have gotten a two.
So I think that's that is still considered bad.
Okay.
And then we have The Mixed, which is Unbearable Weight. Pedro Pascal carried that movie. Wild at Heart, National Treasure, Peggy Sue, and Color Out of Space. And now our new category, the fucking worst at all.
Okay, the fucking worst.
That's see, if I hadn't been here, I might have fought you into the mixed category with Ghost Rider, but just for reasons that don't make any sense.
Well, I have
you guys on that because I wasn't.
I have reasons that don't make any sense that I kind of don't hate it too, but it's not because it's good. Yeah.
You know, no. Yeah.
We might think about going back for that one because Ghost Rider was our actual last
episode. Yeah, we did lose the first one and we recorded a second one. We might have to revisit it after.
Did you?
Yeah. We might have to go back.
Yeah.
But not before we watch Arsenal.
Okay.
No.
So, but on a positive note, next month I'm bringing a guest to talk about a good movie, or at least a movie I find pretty good, called Knowing. Have either of you heard of or seen Knowing before?
Knowing? No, I'm not knowing anything about that.
I've known nothing about Knowing.
I can't say that I know anything about
so,
that.
So, Knowing is a sci-fi flick.
Justin's like, shut
up. One of my co-writers and friends over on Synapse, a website that I write for, he had said he'd love to cover it sometime, so I penciled them in, and I said, all right, let's do it. And so we're going to watch that. If anyone wants to watch along with us, it's free on Tubi. I can't guarantee you'll like it. I can't guarantee it's good. I thought it was pretty good. But I can guarantee it's better than what we just talked about.
Wait, maybe I do know about this movie. I don't think I've seen it all the way through. As Rose Byrne in it? Oh. Anything will be better than what we just watched. I could look at a fucking busted TV screen. It would be better than what
I have a busted TV screen from watching this movie, but yeah.
Oh, God. So, in honor of our cage rages, I would like to provide us all with 1 minute to rage or rant. And it could be about anything on your mind. Just 1 minute. Loki, do you want to go first? Justin, you want to go first?
Why do you assume that I have something to rage or rant about? I was the only one that had anything last time. I didn't prepare. Someone else.
I mean, like, unfortunately for me, the thing that I most want to rage about, we just spent 40 minutes talking about, and I'm just, I'm not quite, I don't have the gusto anymore.
Are you talking about this absolutely phenomenal film that we just reviewed and talked about? Is that
you're
what
you're
fired. Talking about right now? It was so good. No!
Oh, wouldn't you?
It's one of the longest jobs I've ever held, guys. Farewell.
No, I honestly don't have anything to super rage about. I'm in a pretty good mood and place this past week. I'm good. I don't really have a rage right now.
Good. I'm so glad. What a healing moment for you. I do have
one. Let me hear you. Tell us. Wait.
I don't know. I want to hear what yours is first.
Okay, listen.
I'm sorry. I told you I was sorry and not to bring it up on the podcast. Like, we literally talked about this.
Okay, yeah. Loki literally steals all of my soda. No, my rage that just came to mind, mostly because I watched this after I had to pop an Adderall in order to fully give my attention to this. Like, I had to take extra of my medication to watch this fucking film because I could not be interested to watch it. Every fucking commercial, every goddamn commercial was a political commercial that literally just made me hate every single old white man. Like, every single fucking time I looked up, there was an old white dude on my screen bashing another old white dude. I was like, can we just fucking stop with the, like, this, like, two-party goddamn system so I can stop seeing these old fucking white men? Can we just, like, open it up a little bit so I can have a little bit of more variety on my fucking TV? Something more interesting to gossip about than these two fucking old white dudes who keep on just, like, feeding lies? I fucking hate it. I can't do it. Anyway. That is my rage.
They're gonna battle it out. They're gonna go at each other with a high fucking yeah,
high fucking yeah, viva la France. But yeah, that's my rant. Mostly just because. See, and this is why I fucking hate Deadfall, because it made me watch all these fucking commercials.
Has nothing to do with the film itself.
Because it's not on a legitimate platform for streaming. I had to go through every fucking commercial ever.
Oh, so, if you would like
a couple of brothers,
if you would like to know what I did, I wasted $3.79.
Oh shit, that sounds like a cage rage points. To me. Shit,
to fucking rent this piece of shit because I didn't want to sit through commercials in addition to all of it, and I was like, I got $3, like it was no big deal. And generally speaking, it's not a big deal. But at this point, right now, I want my fucking $3 back, and I want it back. Right now,
I just like the idea of somebody in like QA, like looking through like rental histories just to like get some ideas. And you're the one person who rented Deadfall in their entire history of their app running. I just think that's
it. Shows up on like a big screen, and everyone in the building is like handing each other money because they're all betting on it. Dork.
They're like, look at this dork in Pennsylvania that fucking rented Deadfall.
Yo, I definitely ended up on some kind of list from it. That's for fucking
sure. But when you try to go fly and you're like, you're on like a no fly list, and you're like, what the fuck happened? You rented Deadfall.
Like, yeah, Deadfall, remember that time you rented Deadfall? You fucking loser.
Brutal. You know, and while I don't have the energy to rage, the one thing I could really rage about is fucking pollen. Allergy season has been killing me.
Oh, yeah. It's kicking my ass, dude. Yeah. I keep, like, randomly choking, and it's because of my allergies. I'm, like, sitting in bed. I'm like,
I mean, if I can dying. Quote the illustrious Nick Cage, fuck! So, I mean, you know.
I'm actually really glad you brought that up because I forgot about that this afternoon. But I took my dog for a WALP, she's in close proximity right now, and I came back in the house and I sat down, and let me start this off with, I fucking hate sneezing just in general. Find it to be really inconvenient and it pisses me off, and I don't know why it exists. And I sneeze, I am not exaggerating, no less than 15 times in a row. And I
was my wife still there with you when this happened?
No, she was spared. Okay. I sneezed a couple times in the fucking car, though. And she, like, could see it because she's like, oh, my God, bless you. And I was like, I fucking hate this so much. You were sneezing while driving. I could have killed us.
Oh, yeah. Also, like, having to, like, if you're sneezing too much in a row, like, as a lady, you have to, like, squeeze your legs so you don't piss yourself. It's the worst. That's, like, entire allergy season for me is, like, me about to go to the bathroom and sneezing and being horrified about what could happen.
As a lady anywhere between the ages of 30 and 40 years old. I'm 30 or 40 years old. I cannot sneeze without fucking pissing myself.
Let's talk about that. Let's rant about the anatomy of the female body. It's fucking, we're done. We don't want it.
Well, I'm sorry that you have to pee while sneezing.
Does that happen to dudes?
No.
Yeah, do you pee yourself, Justin?
No.
If you sneeze?
Not even like.
You can tell us. Me, Loki, and all of our podcast listeners won't tell anybody if you tell us. Go ahead.
No, that doesn't happen. A lot of other things happen, but not that. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, oh my God, you know what we didn't tell? I know you're going to put it in there. We didn't talk about the song.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah.
So
tell me about this song, because I've never heard of this band.
As we kind of wrap
up. That's insane, first of all.
First off.
Sorry.
So as we wrap up, all right, Let me just quick get in a couple other plugs, and then we'll talk about this song, and then we'll let the song actually lead us out. Look, so it'll be a good transition. All right. Speaking about your transitions is always a good way to transition too, right? So, which it's not. I was being facetious, but
I was like, "Is it?"
yeah, real. So, smooth guy, as we mentioned,
Sam fucking Peckinpah over here.
He's a great director. this weekend marks the start of your Rockstar Roller Derby season. So, folks, if you're anywhere in the greater Philadelphia area near Pottstown, there are still tickets left as of the time we're recording this. I don't know if there still will be by tomorrow when we put the episode up. We'll see.
There probably won't
so,
be.
Yeah, or if you're not, or the tickets sell out, you can go twitch.com/rockstarrollerderby, all one word, and you can watch it live hosted by Justin.
You can watch my ugly
mug.
Yeah,
we love Justin. Mm-hmm.
And Matt, and we have a whole team, a whole squad now. So,
hell yeah, brother!
So,
God damn, this crew must be.
So there'll be some links for that here in the show notes, as well as if you're interested in more about the film festival. So check those out. But as we want to leave, I'll let you kind of cue it up here, Loki. Tell us about Deadfall's song, the song inspired by this wonderful film performed by a hardcore punk band that Murder's never heard of.
Okay. First of all, the fact that Murder has never heard of Snot is really upsetting.
I know. You can take that punk murderer.
But I feel like everyone has in some way or another, because they have that really cool song called like My Balls, Your Chin. I don't think that's the real title. I think the song may just be My Balls, but no, it's My Balls. Yeah, that's right. Okay. So anyway, regardless, here's how this came about, because we're watching the movie, me and Billy. Billy is a fan. I don't know if I would say that I'm a fan of Snot, but I'm familiar with Snot. Billy is a fan of Snot. Mm-hmm. And he was like, that's what that's from. And I was like, what are you talking about? And there's actual quotes, like sound clips from the movie in the song itself. So he's like, oh, yeah, that's in the song, like the Sam fucking Peckinpah. And then there's like actually Nicolas Cage being like, well, viva la fucking France, man, like in the song itself. So I'm like, I gotta look this shit up. And I'm reading the lyrics to the song. I put it on and I'm reading the lyrics along, and I'm like, it's not just that they took clips from the movie and just used them as like a filler. The song is legitimately about the movie.
Yep. Oh,
like, it's the story, like
they're just like retelling it, like, your song.
Yeah. Yeah, so like I'll just give you like the first verse, right? I'll do a dramatic reading. Well, I killed my dad in a con gone bad, nearly drank myself to death. Oh, but when he died, he said Lou had the cake, so I caught a bus heading west. I saw the numbers run in through a small cafe, and I knew I'd find my uncle Lou. That's when Eddie stepped up. He said, pick a card, said shape the con before it shapes you.
Oh my God.
And the chorus is, who sent you? Sam fucking Peckinpah. Over and over again.
That's so good. Oh,
so
my God.
Justin,
I have to listen to it.
Yeah, so that's
going to
be taking
amazing.
Us out. And I will promise everybody listening that is significantly better. This song is significantly more enjoyable than this movie.
It is. It absolutely is. And also, if you listen to the song, you pretty much know the whole movie. So, you know, why watch it?
Why watch it? Yeah, indeed. Who's that dog? Yeah, who's that dog?
Baby girl,